the story of Jesus' crucifixion and his dialogue with the criminals who were crucified with him is a story that resonates with the stories of the great epics of battle in the ancient world. One of the major motifs in the battle stories of antiquity are the taunts that are given between various adversaries. So in the story of David and Goliath, Goliath taunts the soldiers of Israel. You know, send out a man who will fight with me, you cowards! And he mocks them. When David comes out to fight Goliath, he in turn taunts Goliath and says, the Lord God will give you into my hand, and I will cut off your head. This is in response to Goliath saying, you know, what, have they sent out a little flea to fight with me? So these taunts are part of the stories of antiquity. Another example of that are the stories of the Iliad and the classic battle between Achilles and Hector. And I'll read you just a part of the speeches, the taunts that Hector and Achilles have before their battle. Hector, after running three times around the city of Troy with Achilles chasing him, following, finally stands his ground with the encouragement of the goddess Athena, and Hector speaks, son of Peleus, I will no longer run from you. As before you, I fled three times around the great city of Priam and dared not stand to your onfall, but now my spirit in turn has driven me to stand and face you. I must take you now, or I must be taken. Come then, shall we swear before the gods? For these are the highest who shall be witnesses and watch over our agreements. Brutal as you are, I will not defile you if Zeus grants to me that I can wear you out and take the life from you. But after I have stripped your glorious armor, Achilles, I will give your corpse back to the Achaeans. Do you do likewise? And then looking darkly at him, swift-footed Achilles answered, Hector, argue me no agreements. I cannot forgive you. As there are no trustworthy oaths between men and lions, nor wolves and lambs have spirits that can be brought into agreement, but forever these hold feelings of hate for each other, so there can be no love between you and me, nor shall there be oaths between us. But one or the other must fall before then, to glut with his blood Ares the god who fights under the shield's guard. Remember every valor of yours, for now the need comes hardest upon you to be a spearman and a bold warrior. There shall be no more escape for you, but Pallas Athena will kill you soon by my spear. You will pay in a lump for all those sorrows of my companions you killed in your spear's fury. I could multiply these speeches. The Iliad is full of them. Now, in this story, there is a litany of taunts directed to Jesus. First, the leaders scoffed at him. They mocked him, saying, ah, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers, the Roman soldiers, also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. And then even one of the criminals who was hanging there with him kept mocking him and saying, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. So this story of Jesus' death is full of the taunts that were the mainstay of the stories of battle in the ancient world. Jesus' words, by contrast to these violent words that precede violent acts, Jesus' words are quiet. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And his word to the one crucified with him is a word spoken in the context of a relationship that is being established. It is not unlike the appeal of Hector to Achilles, that they would honor each other and that whoever was victorious would not defile the body of their adversary. In this case, Jesus does not respond as Achilles or as Hector, but rather in response to this one who is a criminal, who asks him to have mercy on him. Jesus says to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So he offers to him an offer of mercy, of forgiveness, and the promise of eternal life. Now, this order of taunts is first the rulers, and then the Roman soldiers, and finally one of those crucified with Jesus. And there is a verbal thread that runs through these three taunts against Jesus. The leaders taunt him as the Messiah of God. Let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God. And the Greek word here means to ridicule or sneer. The soldiers, "If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself." The word that is used to describe their taunt is to mock. And the culmination of the taunting is the taunting of one of the criminals crucified with Jesus. And the Greek word that is used for the criminal's words is that he blasphemed. Now, blasphemy was a crime punishable by death. And so deriding him does not capture the quality of this blasphemous taunt by the one who is crucified with him. And he also mocks him as a Messiah. "Aren't you the Messiah? Ha! Save yourself and us." So this is a crescendo of taunts, first by the rulers, then by the Roman soldiers, and finally by the one crucified with him. The other criminal rebukes the one who blasphemed Jesus and compares Jesus' fate to theirs. That is, that they were suffering because of their crimes, but that he had done nothing wrong. And this is the third time in Luke's story in which Jesus' innocence is emphasized, another major thread that runs through the story. So this other criminal then rebukes the one who mocks Jesus and then turns to Jesus. And as they are dying, says to him, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus' response is a promise of mercy and fellowship in paradise. He, in effect, acquits him of guilt and promises him eternal salvation. It is also an implicit victory over death and a promise to the one dying with him of that same victory. Now, comment about the promise. "You will be with me in paradise." This word also appears in 2 Corinthians 12:4 and Revelation 2:7. And is often thought to be the equivalent of heaven. But that is not so. What this word means in Greek is an enclosed park or a garden. It's used to translate the Garden of Eden. It developed as an association with the last things, as a place of expected bliss, and as the mythical place or abode of the righteous after death. It was the opposite of Hades, the place of descent for the souls of dead warriors. So the promise is that they will be then in this this park, this great garden of paradise. The impact of this story, it is on the one hand, sympathy for Jesus, who is dying as an innocent man. It is also the recognition of his kingship, but in the context of the stories of the ancient world, it is his difference from the warrior tradition that is most striking about this story. Jesus is here in his death, stronger than the warriors of the ancient world, and the most direct and personal promise of life after death is for those who ask Jesus for mercy and for forgiveness. So the primary impact of this story is in this last climactic conversation between Jesus and the criminal who asked him for mercy. And so we are, as listeners, are invited to listen in on this intimate discussion between Jesus and one of the criminals who was crucified with him, and to recognize Jesus' courage, his strength, his unwillingness to enter into the taunts and the battles of warfare, but that instead he wins the victory over death by his quiet courage and strength and his forgiveness of this one who was a criminal. So this story has in its basic dynamics a hope and a promise for all those who suffer at both the consequences of their own misdeeds, of their own lives, but also for the world as it struggles to find a way that would lead to peace. Jesus indicates, and in these words of his on the cross, points the way to that hope, the fulfillment of that hope for peace.